This morning's reading is from John chapter 17. We will be reading verses 15 to 19. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles, that's page 763. So John 17, verses 15 to 19. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Well, good morning. Sorry, I just need to get something out of here. I bought some props this morning. Helps us maybe understand something of what I want to say to you today. Sitting is not trying to start a trend. There's a reason for it. We don't need to worry about it. Let's get on with it. There are subjects, I think, which are particularly boring to us. And if they're mentioned, we just switch off. For me, it's science. Science is very important. And if you're a scientific person, you're wondering, what's wrong with me? Well, there's a few things wrong with me, but we won't go into that this morning. But science just turns me off. Or you've been in one of those conversations where somebody's just using a load of jargon without explaining it. It's not just Christians who have jargon. And, you just switch off, don't you? We come to the Bible this morning, and there are two words we may switch off about. Firstly, there is the word holy, and then the word sanctification. So how's that grabbing us this morning from the offset? There are words that are not used in everyday language. Some people would even say they make Christianity unintelligible and boring. But actually, there are words that Jesus uses in his prayer in John 17. The word holy has appeared in verse 11 of John 17. He's called his Father holy. And holy is what makes God God. It's his essential being. Isaiah, in a vision of God, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3 said, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And that song actually is repeated in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Holiness is God's majesty, his splendor, his shining brilliance. It's also his moral purity, and the two of them are connected. More importantly, holiness is God's love language. Is that surprising to us? God is triune. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are holy. They are gloriously holy. They are exclusively devoted to each other. They forsake all others in order to be committed to each other. Holiness is God's love language. We need to be clear about that this morning. Indeed, God's holiness is, in one sense, described as fire. Put it this way, God is red hot in his devotion with regard to his glory and his moral purity. He is red hot. And that, when we understand it, makes us on one level uncomfortable, because we are not red hot in our devotion towards God and his glory and his moral purity. And yet it's exceedingly attractive, isn't it? Because it's different. We mustn't think, therefore, of holiness as holier than thou. We mustn't see it as some kind of rule-keeping and judgmentalism. It is essentially who God is. Take holiness out of God and you don't have God. It's his love language. Get hold of that, please. And then the word sanctify or sanctification. That means to be devoted to a special use and separated from any other use. And let's pretend, let's use my props. Let us say you're an Israelite living in Israel in the Old Testament times, and you have a ladle. Here's a ladle that you use every day. It's used for everyday use. That's fine, isn't it? You know what a ladle's for, I don't need to explain. That would be patronizing, wouldn't it? But here's another ladle. You would only find this ladle in a place called the tabernacle. And it was only to be ever used by priests. A woman in her tent couldn't nip down to the tabernacle and say, I think I'll just use one of the ladles. I've run out of my ladles. The ladle's broken. Only for temple or tabernacle use. Exclusively to be devoted to God. That's what it means to be sanctified, separated from all ordinary use for the exclusive use of God. In other words, reserved for God. You go to the restaurant and you want to sit and have a meal with some friends. And you go in and they say, there's a 30-minute wait. Well, there's a big empty table there. It's enough for you and your friends. And you say, well, what's wrong with that table? Oh, it's reserved. It's reserved. It's not for your use. Hands off. It's whoever has named it gets the use of it. And we bear a name. The name is Jesus. And we're for his exclusive use. And nobody else's, and nothing else. In other words, if we want to understand what sanctification is, if we're followers of Jesus, one, it has already happened to us, in that Jesus, through his death on the cross, has separated us from using our lives for sin. He has separated us from using our lives for sin. Definitive break. No longer for the use of sin. Do you understand this? So when we baptize people, that's what's really being said, isn't it? As we plunge them under the waters, it's symbolizing that they're already sanctified, separated from sin and its lordship, and for the exclusive use of Jesus. And we bring them back up again, because we don't want them to drown. But more than that, because they're symbolizing they've been raised to newness of life. For the exclusive use of Jesus. So that in holy devotion to God, God can show himself to be glorious to a lost world. So already we've been separated. And yet now we are in a process of being transformed to become more like God and reflect his character. And if you've understood it so far, we've said that God is committed to his glory in holy devotion. It's not possible to sing the praises of God and worship him without reflecting his character in our day-to-day living. We need to let that sink into our minds, don't we? Oh yes, I think we do. It is a process whereby one day we will be perfected in holy love for God and gloriously reflect his character. But only when Jesus returns again. But that's where it's all going. For we will live forever for the exclusive use of God. And we will never live in the new creation, ever for ourselves. Is that how you understand Christianity? Because what I've just described to you is the whole entire saving career of Jesus. in other words. Jesus did not come into this world, as we will see, in order just simply to give us a hobby called Jesus, or a passing interest on a Sunday. He came in order to rescue us from sin, to bring us alive to God, to live for Him forever and ever exclusively. Three things to say about these verses this morning, in verses 17 through 19. Number one, Jesus prays that the Father would sanctify His followers through the truth. Jesus prays that the Father would sanctify His followers through the truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. In other words, Jesus understands that God will use one thing to make us more or more devoted to Himself. He uses the truth. You should have it open before you. You really should. Either using a church Bible, your own Bible, or even the Bible on your phone. I assume that you're using your phone for the sake of reading the Bible. The Father will use the truth to separate us from sinful use and live devoted lives for His use only. And as we do so, so we are protected from evil and our missional identity is not lost. Why should we be wholly devoted to God? Why should we learn that we are exclusively to be used by God and live for God? Because we live in a lost and unholy world, and it will swallow us up if we let it. And so this morning, at 11:15 in TCM, we've got the Bibles open, we've got the truth before us, we're checking the page to see whether I'm actually being faithful here, and we're praying, aren't we, that all of us will be transformed by this truth, to become more devoted to God, and that He might use our lives from this day onwards and forevermore. You see, the world we live in is totally devoted to believing that the Bible is the word of the lie. It's not the word of truth for the world. It's the word of the lie. That life for the world, those who don't know Jesus, is to be devoted to self. There is no devotion to holiness in the unbelieving world. You know that, don't you, in your work context, your study context. The world does what it likes, and thus it does what God hates. So we turn into this building, or we come in other occasions, because we have an ongoing commitment to God's authority over our lives, and it's a good authority. It's an authority that brings us to life, not to death. It is in the Bible, or in the truth, that God reveals His majestic holy character and His red-hot devotion to His glory. And it's that which He wants to see reflected back to Him in our own lives. And that is why He sent Jesus into this world, in order that truly that red-hot devotion to God, that exclusive use for God, may be returned to our lives, because that's what we've lost. So in other words, my friends, let me say this to you. It is through biblical obedience to the truth that we're transformed. Yes, it is a process. I understand that. It doesn't all happen at once on a Sunday morning. But if we are really devoted to God, that process will become clear to us. Through the truth, you see, we meet Jesus. Okay? See, if you're thinking that holiness and sanctification is a threat to your life, to your Christian life, then you're misreading the Bible, aren't you? Holiness and sanctification is God's love language. And God's love language came to us in the person of Jesus. And if we're getting to know Jesus, really getting to know Jesus, then truly we're going to become those who are more like Jesus and therefore devoted to God with glorious joy. I use the words glorious joy deliberately. I'm not hearing this from the church generally these days. Holiness and sanctification apparently have disappeared off the face of the planet. There's something profoundly wrong about that. Ken Dodd is a comedian, or was. He was a comedian for 63 years. He started when he was 26, and he finished when he was 89. Now, whether you like his comedy or not, I'm not here to discuss that. He was from Liverpool, a Scouser, but to maintain a comedy act for 63 years is pretty awesome. He probably never sat to do his comedy. He was interviewed just before he died, and somebody asked him about advice for young comedians. And this is what he said. Repeat after me, I'm a comedian. So they did. And then he said to them, never lose your enthusiasm. You must eat, drink, sleep, dream, live, and think comedy all the time. You must separate yourself from everything else and be used for exclusively for comedy. Because that's what he did. Is that mad? Well, the world celebrates that and calls him a genius. We do it as Christians and we're fanatics. Jesus prays that the Father will use the truth to sanctify us. How's that going this morning in your life? How's it going in my life? This is more than a listening exercise, isn't it? Secondly, Jesus was sent into the world, so we are sent into the world. Do you see verse 18? As you've sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. Jesus is the sent one. He keeps saying it in John's Gospel, chapter 13, chapter 15. And he's the model for mission. Mission is declaring the good news as well as doing good works. And we must understand, if we're going to engage in mission, we must do it in the same way as Jesus did. And Jesus preached the good news, and he did good works. That's the very heart of mission, isn't it? So mission might involve picking up litter for Jesus, for your community. Well, nothing wrong with that. It might be saying to the community, it would be wise to know God in your life, because it will help you with your stress. But that is not central to why Jesus was sent. Jesus wasn't sent to pick up litter. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, you know, if you follow me, I'll give you a stressless life. Actually, he gave them greater stress than ever before. Jesus was sent on the greatest rescue mission, to bring us, as sinners, into a relationship with God forever. That God might use our lives exclusively for his glory, and that in that devotion we may discover a very surprising happiness. We are sent into this world as he was sent into this world. He is our model for mission. That is the reason why we must, yes, do good works. Nobody's suggesting differently, but we must always declare the good news. And we must tell people that they are sinners in the sight of God, in need of the Lord Jesus Christ to be reconciled to God. And in being reconciled to God, they're brought into a relationship that they were meant to live in. And that was for God's use. You glorify God, and as you do so, you enjoy him as Jesus did. Jesus was sent, and so we are sent in the same way. Thirdly and finally, Jesus lived a separated life of devotion to God. Verse 19. Do you notice that? What Jesus says? That he sanctified himself for us. Jesus did all of this. He had a mission to accomplish. And so he set himself apart from sin. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say to the Father on the eve of his death, I think we'll just give the cross a miss tomorrow. I've got an appointment at Nero's for a coffee. I go to Nero's for a coffee. Are you glad that he kept his appointment with the cross? You can say yes. He sanctified himself to do that. He said, Father, I'm here for your exclusive use. When he was 12 years of age, he knew that he had to be about the Father's business. He was here exclusively for God. And out of that, the holiness that Jesus exemplified in his life, it was his love language back to the Father. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Father was to say in several times. You see the emotional fullness that would have come into Jesus at that point? The tank of his soul filled to go on living in this world and ultimately go to a cross and die for your sin and mine. For the Father's exclusive use, who for the joy set before him went to the cross. Where do we get this idea that holy living is unhappy living? Where do we get this idea that being sanctified and separated from sin is a bit of a thing to be given a wide berth? The Son, you see, shows us what it means to be separated to God. And we are to be separated in the same way. We are to think Jesus. We are to dream Jesus. We are to eat Jesus. We are to talk Jesus. We are to live Jesus. That's our love language. And if we love Jesus, holiness is that language. And we will be praying by the end of this service, I hope, Father, separate me more and more from sin. And for your exclusive use. For in that intimate relationship with God, shiny lives of glorious devotion emerge. It is a miracle, my friends. Shiny lives of devotion to God emerge. In our world, amongst our colleagues, in the darkness, we turn to the world, you see, my friends, in this way, and we just refuse to be the world, don't we? I hope you're refusing to be the world. Not in arrogance, but nonetheless. You see, we'll never see the world won for Jesus by looking like the world. By speaking like the world. By drinking like the world. By amusing ourselves to death like the world. We won't win the world that way, my friends. We have to win the world by looking like Jesus. Where we display the gospel message and we preach the gospel message to others. That it turns us into lovers of God and separators from sin. Lovers of God and separators from sin. Is that how you see your Christian life? I hope that's how you see your Christian life. And a wonderful miracle takes place there. I want you to see it. We begin to shine like stars. God's holy love shines out of us in the darkness. So who do we think we are as I finish? Do we feel threatened by holiness? Do we feel bored by sanctification? Will we prefer another subject to be covered? I remember preaching on this once, several years ago, nowhere near TCM. And a character came to see me afterwards and he said to me, "You never mentioned my life situation today." I said, "Well, I didn't mention my own." He wanted to kind of say to me that unless I was suggesting somebody's life situation, I hadn't preached properly. Well, look at, here you are. Am I to mention all your life situations this morning if I'm going to be faithful to God? They're here for a long time. No, 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 my friends. I have to lay before you what is generally true of all Christians. And there is nothing more generally true, more gloriously true, more centrally true than what we're looking at just now. And I want you to realize the only way to commit ourselves to an exclusive use of God and call him to separate us from sin is if we have an inner fullness and emotional wealth in relation to God. How's your tank today? Your heart tank. The Father has sent the Son. The Son has come to the cross and rose again from the dead. The Holy Spirit lives inside us. We're on our way, as forgiven sinners, to the new creation. How's your emotional tank? My wife's away for the weekend, and just before she left, she asked me if I would refill the car with diesel. Why do I have to keep refilling my car? Well, because it goes empty. So off I go to refill the car with diesel so that she can take her mum to Chessington. And my friends, we need to keep on being refilled with an inner fullness and an emotional wealth in Christ. That sense of glorious love from God, which you've sung about so richly today. Because unless I am emotionally full, I will never give myself to Christ. I will give myself to sin. I will give myself to myself. And yet, my friends, can I also say to you that the surprising outcome of biblical obedience is indeed happiness. Happiness in Christ. Happiness in knowing him. Happiness in living in a broken world and turning to it and saying, there's a glorious Lord who wants to enter your life. Come back to my ladles as I finish. Here are two kinds of ladles. Here's the ordinary ladle that I use every day to ladle out stew or whatever else, whoever stew is. And so there you go, bog standard. And this is another ladle. It was given to me by a friend with a biblical text on it to shout joyfully the praises of God. I rarely use this ladle. It's for special use. Exclusive use. Who was the friend? They come to TCM. So it's just an illustration, don't worry. There are two kinds of human beings in this room. There are those of us, and all human beings in this room, live for the same ways. We all get up, we all dress, we all do other stuff that human beings all do. Okay? Maybe you're just that kind of human being this morning. And it's what you're going to have for dinner and what you're going to do in the week and all that other stuff that fills your head. That's you. Here's another ladle. It is a ladle used for ladling out stew. But my consciousness about this ladle is one that I got it from a friend with a text on it. And the consciousness that I have with regard to this is therefore it's for special use. And there's another kind of human being in this room. And through Jesus, the joy of the Lord has come into our lives. The glory of God has come to us. A God wholly devoted to his glory and therefore wholly devoted to you and me. We're conscious of that, aren't we? And although we may ladle stew like everybody else, we do it consciously for the Lord. That's the difference. So a prayer as we finish. Because God wants to see his image replicated back to himself in our lives. We can only do that through Jesus. And as we are devoted to God, so a lovely shining takes place within our lives that we didn't anticipate. I read a book recently. It's Eleanor Oliphant. Is completely fine, I think. It's a novel. She's a lonely woman. She is socially inept. And there's all kinds of difficulties in her life. Deeply scarred. But she meets a friend who introduces her to a family. And she goes to the hairdresser's and gets her plain hair cut. And it's beautifully cut by this hairdresser, with all the highlights in. And Eleanor weeps when she sees the mirror and says, "You've made me shiny." You've made me shiny. And the process of sanctification, where we are for the exclusive use of God, makes us shiny people in a very unshiny world. That's different, isn't it? And that's what the world needs to see and hear. Let us pray. Let's take a moment. So easy, isn't it? Just on to the next thing. Tick the box or not. Jesus wants this prayer answered by the Father. He wants to sanctify you as a follower and me as a follower more this morning, so that we are devoted to the exclusive use of a glorious God. He wants to make us shiny with moral purity and relational joy. You going to join in the prayer? Lord Jesus, you prayed this prayer before you left. Did you went to the cross to make it true and rose again from the dead? Oh Lord, we would pray in the words of your word. God, please, God of peace, sanctify us through and through. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have called us to this, and you are faithful. And we thank you that you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.